the title of the talk is Mindfulness of the Body as a True Refuge. Do you feel like your life is busy? Complicated? Maybe overwhelming sometimes? Here's a little screenshot of a little text exchange. June 8th, 2011. Text message. Hey. June 8th, 2013. The reply. Hey, sorry, I was busy. The reply. I sent that 2 years ago. This tradition of mindfulness of the body, I'm kind of kicking off a series. It's a series I've done maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It probably bears repeating every year because it's so central to the practice of meditation, is to wake up from the chaos, the craziness, the busyness of our life, and get really, really simple. And the simple thing, and if you are familiar with the Vipassana tradition, you know this. If you're new to it, then you're getting introduced right away. We are all about being aware of the body. It's just central practice in most Vipassana or insight meditation approaches. And so this is actually a pretty lengthy series. It can go for a long time. I'll just kind of feel the group energy. This is just a central topic and approach for this practice. And the title of the talk is Mindfulness of the Body as a Refuge. A refuge in the midst of life's storms. A refuge in the midst of our crazy, busy lives. And the Buddha said this: they awaken, the Buddha's disciples, whose mindfulness both day and night is constantly immersed in the body. So this is not trivial. It's very ordinary to be aware of the body. We can follow our breath. We can, feel our sits bones in the chair right now, or cushion. Very ordinary, but very profound. And so I kind of want to just introduce the whole series and give an overview of why we harp on the body so much in our tradition. So the body is a refuge for many reasons. One reason right away is it's a refuge from that life where you're so busy. It takes you 2 years to respond to a hey. But more than that, it's a refuge from all the complicated stuff in our minds. If you're aware of something in your body, you are here. You are in the present. You are in the now. So to become aware of the body is a refuge of the present moment, in the present moment. And many, many things that I'll unpack. But the kind of the culminating thing, it's a refuge where you can have really, really deep insights into the process of how your mind works. When you can be aware of the body and you're really aware of what's happening in the body, then it's much easier to see what's going on in the mind. And when we do that, we start to have insight. And we call this practice insight meditation because it's having insight, meaning seeing clearly what's actually happening in your mind and body, that actually frees us, helps us be much happier, much more open, much more loving, if we really see clearly. And the body is great because we are attached to the body for sure, right? Very attached. But not nearly as identified with the body as we are with the mind. We can get it that you can have a kidney transplant and you don't feel like some little piece of you is lost, you know? But personality transplant, you wouldn't want that. Who would want a personality transplant? That would be weird. Of course, it might be nice to have a few of those little habits that aren't so helpful get transplanted. But we can sort of get it that the body is not us, even though we're in it. It belongs to us, but it's not us. And so we can start to have real insights about just that right there. It belongs to us, but it isn't us. If you own something, you aren't it. I own that car. Well, if you were the car, you'd never say, I own it, right? So we own our bodies, but that means our bodies are not us. So we can actually have that insight, and it's a very profound, liberating insight to really get it. We watch our bodies change out of our control. Did you decide when your hair would start graying, if it has? You know, are you sitting here, you know, deciding to digest your meal? Are you telling your heart to pump your blood, you know? Are you telling your skin to get tanned when you go in the sun, you know? Are you telling your body to get cold when it's cold outside? Absolutely not. Our body is just doing its thing. If we can't control it, how is it us? We don't control the weather. We don't think of the weather as us. But our body, we think of it as us. And yet, if you really start being mindful of the body, you realize, oh, wait a minute. It's got a mind of its own. Did you decide how tall you were going to grow? Did you decide at what age you would mature from a child into an adult? You know, this body is out of our control. We have secondary control. You can brush your teeth, right? But the nature of teeth, you know, is to get dirty. That's just what you can shampoo your hair. But the nature of your hair over time is to get dirty, you know. So we have this secondary control. So that's not saying we don't have control. We have some. But the body's got its own agenda, it's got its primary control. And through our practice, we awaken to that, and we realize, I'm in this body, but it's not me. And that's a very, very freeing insight. So this is the ultimate reason we focus on the body, is that we can have these liberating insights, and we're not as attached to the body as the mind. We're much more identified with the mind. So, this business of realizing this body is out of our control is scary because we want to feel in control. But the path of meditation through the body, actually we do this Aikido move, and the very thing we're afraid of becomes our ally. The more we watch the body being out of control, doing its own thing, the more we let go. And when we let go, all that's left is being happy and in ease. So the body is the teacher for letting go. And when we let go, we're happy. So the body is our ally. This body doing what it does is really helpful. We don't like it. Who likes aging? You know, who likes getting wrinkles, getting gray hair? We don't like it. But it's a teaching. It's a teaching that's saying your true refuge is not the body. This talk is not called the body as your true refuge. The talk is called mindfulness of your body as a true refuge. It's the mindfulness of this experience of being embodied that is the refuge. And in the Buddhist world, we point to the heart. Our refuge is here, inside. But the refuge isn't the body, because the body gets old and is unreliable and gets sick and is wonderful and is amazing, right? I mean, we want to love and celebrate our bodies. Bodies are awesome, miraculous. And yet, we can get it that they're not ultimately reliable. And then the Aikido move is that our body being not in our control becomes the very basis for our well-being. We let go, and we're happier as a result. So then all of our wrinkles and our challenges and our illnesses become like, what's the word, a catalyst of our spiritual path. So this body is benevolent in its not being reliable. It's a kindness from a spiritual perspective. It's a really good thing, because the body is speaking to us from the spiritual corner of our being and saying, careful, don't count on me to be the same. I'm not the same a heartbeat ago. I'm not the same a breath ago. If you've ever, I don't remember all the math of this, but you know, you're losing something like in the time that it takes me to speak this sentence, like millions of cells are dying and being reborn. This body is like a froth. This body is changing all the time. I recently had some heart issues that had to be looked at, and I'm fine, but it was a little bit challenging to have to go through that. And I had all these tests, and one of the tests was an ultrasound of my heart. And I got to watch my heart. I mean, we all know the ultrasound, right, of like the fetus and the womb or whatever, but to watch your own heart on the screen is actually pretty amazing. And, you know, I could see at one point the technician was telling me, see that thing? And it's going boom, 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 right? It's just working that hard. And, you know, the screen was this big, and this thing was going up and down like this, this fast and that much. I couldn't believe it. It was just one of my valves in the heart. She had the right angle on one of my valves in the ultrasound. It's like, wow. You know, we think of this body as this lump of flesh, you know, just sort of sitting here the way a book would sit here. It's like, are you kidding me? This body is like this incredible field of energy and change. And when we really become mindful of this, we start to really get, oh, this is how I am. I'm just changing all the time. And, you know, there's a lot that's not in my control. And again, that's the good news. We let go. So, any comments or questions thus far? Input? Please.
I have one. I find it kind of to be a gender issue, because I'm constantly told I am my body.
Right.
Especially in Boulder. So that can be. I'm constantly reminded by other people that, you know, commenting how I look, whatever.
Right.
That it's almost like I'm being told I'm not a person, I'm a body.
Right.
My body should conform to certain norms. So it's good to hear what you're saying, but on the other hand, I find it like very painful to be in today's society and told
yes.
that I should be like 40 pounds thinner.
Exactly. Exactly. So just to summarize that for the mic, you know, the comment is that basically that society is actually, and probably more for women than men, but maybe that's changing, I don't know, that society is putting a lot of pressure on us every day that to be in, you know, thought of as our bodies. And we should be 40 pounds less and you know, we're supposed to all look like Beyonce or something, or, you know, whoever the male equivalent of Beyonce is.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Well, he's getting pretty old now.
Yeah.
If you saw The Big Short, he plays kind of an old guy, a middle-aged guy anyway. Kanye. So we are in a mass delusion all together in thinking we are our bodies. But the more we meditate, the more clear it becomes that this body is a lot like the weather. We don't freak out about the weather. We do take steps. We wear raincoats on rainy days and parkas on cold days, right? But we don't freak out about how much the weather changes. But because we're so identified with our bodies, we freak out about our body changes. And of course we do. We will do that. It's not to judge that. As long as we believe we are our bodies, we will do that. But when you actually wake up to your body, to realize how much is going on in your body that has nothing to do with you, it's just your body doing its thing, you really break that identification. It's very, very healthy to meditate on the body, because you then see, well, people are reminding me of that all the time, but it's just not true. I see it for myself. I mean, I'll probably do in the series a whole class on body image and, you know, how society makes us view our bodies and how our meditation practice completely undercuts that. So that's an important one.
So is your neurology your body?
Definitely.
Or is it your mind?
Well, your neurology is your brain. Which is the body in the way I'm going to talk about it. I mean, this is just terminology, so there's no absolute truth to these words. But the way I'm using the term body and the way we generally use it in the Buddhist tradition is everything physical, including the brain. And then our subjective experience is mind, which may or may not be based in the brain. Depending on your worldview and your experience. Does that make sense? Sort of.
Mm-hmm. Are we just going on for the ride?
Is that the question? Do we have free will?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just going along for the ride? This is a big can of worms. Let me see. I want to be delicate in my response because I don't want to open the can of worms too much right now. How about this? Yes and no. I can really weasel out of it. In the moment, we absolutely can make a choice. But here's the thing. You can only have a choice. I want to back up because those aren't the right words. The choice we have is how we respond to the moment to which we just awoke. We only have choice when we're mindful. Otherwise, we're asleep at the wheel, we're on autopilot, and it's not... There's no conscious choice happening. We're acting out of habit. And now, we can make choices to influence our habits. And that's all like in the frontal part of the brain. But the habits reside in the middle or lower parts of the brain. And it goes unconscious. Meditation is actually a way of making choices consciously to change our habits. And then we become mindful, you know, out of habit. But, so, I guess that's my yes and no answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
I'm kind of new at all this.
Sure.
Good. I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Hearing and listening, but my lower back is in excruciating pain.
Oh.
Well. So I'm trying to get behind what you're talking about.
Right. Can you shift so that you're more comfortable? Is there a way to stand or even lie down? Because I really want to encourage you to be comfortable.
No, it doesn't really change, I'm afraid.
So this is chronic pain that you're working with?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where our practice is. There's a ton of work being done to work with chronic pain. And I don't know if you're familiar with mindfulness-based stress reduction. Well, you should really... We can talk maybe at the break how to find out more about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole approach for using mindfulness to work with chronic pain, and it's completely advanced practice, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And because when there's chronic pain, I have someone in one of my groups who's worked with chronic pain for many years, and mindfulness helped him so much. So I'm not saying... I mean, there's no guarantee, but it definitely has the possibility of helping. Yeah.
Does MBSR help with anxiety?
Yes. Mindfulness helps with anxiety, generally. Why? Because anxiety is about which time, past, present, or future. When we're anxious, what are we thinking about, past, present, or future?
Future.
Yeah. And mindfulness, the practice of being present then, very much helps you recognize not I'm anxious, but anxiety is happening. And future thinking is happening. And I'm making it up. I'm imagining an unpleasant future. That's why I'm anxious. That's optional. And so mindfulness can be directly brought to bear right on that. That's the nub of it right there. It's actually optional. And it's not, we don't have a choice unless we know we have a choice. So if we don't know, mindfulness can do this. It's not a choice, but it will become a choice if you can use the practice in that way. You actually can just be like, that's future thinking. And I don't know it to be true. And let me now come into the body. And this is actually a good segue into one of the refuges of the body. One of the refuges is this safe harbor in the storm of an emotion. So let's just go with anxiety. So with anxiety, we might have a mental experience of future thinking and it's unpleasant. And we have a physical experience, let's just say, of tingle, 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 like butterflies in the belly. The drama is not in tingle, tingle, tingle. The drama is in the, oh, no. Something bad's about to happen, right? That's basic fear energy. So with mindfulness, we take refuge in the safe harbor of sensation. Tingle, tingle, tingle. There's no drama. There's no catastrophe. And it helps us realize that, oh, the body is just here in the present moment, but the mind is going off into the future. And so I'm going to actually rest in the body. I'm going to, again and again, bring my attention back to tingle, tingle, tingle. And... the mind will want you to grab the thoughts, but when you get used to working with it, it becomes stronger to make that choice to be in the body. And then you're in the present moment, and then with time, then that anxiety, it's like it crests, and then it dissipates. And what's really amazing with any difficult emotion, but with anxiety in particular, again, any emotion... it burns itself through. It actually, you come, if you can stay mindful and you can let this energy of fear just kind of move and do its dance, but you stay present, you stay in the body, then that energy eventually burns itself through. And then you're just calm. So it's used a ton with anxiety. Yeah. So this is a real refuge. This is, in any difficult emotion, sadness, fear, anger, jealousy, right, shame, all of these, guilt, all of these, irritation, the body is our refuge. For the same reasoning I just went through. Your mind is making something up. And we don't want to judge that because, of course, we do that. But we have a choice. So if it's sad, if we're sad, then we are caught in unpleasant thoughts about the past. If we're guilty, same. Unpleasant thoughts about the past. If we're excited, pleasant thoughts about the future. If we're happy, maybe we're just in the present. I don't know. We might be pleasant thoughts about the future. But mindfulness becomes this, what we change with our emotions is how we're relating to them. We change the, we don't change the channel. We become bigger than the experience of the difficult state. We allow the difficult state, but we don't believe it. We're not overwhelmed by it. And we do that by resting our attention in the body. You can fully allow the anxiety because you can just be with tingle, tingle, tingle. So we'll probably do like a class just on that. Yeah. So this is where the rubber really meets the road in our practice, where we really start to see that, oh, this stuff works. Yeah, it makes me calmer, a little less stressed out. That's great. I love that. But, wow, it makes me much more able to deal with my emotional world, with the body as refuge. Okay. Mindfulness of the body as a refuge. So, we have a little bit of a conflict in our nervous system. We love being excited and stimulated. We love fantasizing, planning, you know, all the stuff we love to do in our minds. And we love the complete opposite. We love having nothing to do. We love being just right here, present moment. You could call these two modes a mode and a doing mode. And we need both. But I think we are probably the culture in the history of the earth the most doing heavy. We're losing the ability to just be because we're hyper-stimulated, you know? You know, like the TVs now in the gas station pumps. God forbid for that 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you are just idle. And then the TV itself, do you ever notice on the news now, like, right? It used to be just at first a little bit of a crawl on the bottom, but then some crawl up the right side and the left side, and then the actual, like, present moment news is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You've got to have all these other things. It's just like, wow. But that's brain training. We're training our brain, we're training our mind in being stimulated. And even when we're not doing anything, we're doing. And so more and more, I think, just being, we need it. There's an epidemic of doing, and we need to do, but, you know, then there's too much doing. So, you know, it used to be like people had time. You know, now our, like, gadgets are with us on vacation. And, you know, can you ever get a week off where you're actually not checking in with your work email? That's hard to do anymore, isn't it? So So there was a really interesting study done, and it was actually using a phone. So, but it was using the phone maybe for a being purpose. It was a study that went out to 5,000 people and a little app, and it asked these three questions. How are you feeling right now? What are you doing right now? And are you currently thinking about something other than what you're doing? So the results were, as you might expect, people's minds wandered a lot, regardless of what they were doing, about 50% of the time. People reported feeling less happy when their minds wandered than when their minds were not wandering. And their minds were happier when they were focused at the task at hand, even if the task at hand was unpleasant. So we like being present, but we also like doing, and we like, you know, planning and thinking ahead and doing all that. But our nervous system really likes rest. And so this is where the mindfulness of the body, if it's just as simple as noticing your breath, you are giving yourself time to be. And, you know, if you're new to this practice, sometimes you might think, well, I can't just make this resolve to not solve a problem when it comes up, you know, to not work through that work thing or family thing or relationship thing. That feels irresponsible. It's like, well, actually, it's irresponsible to not allow yourself time to be. Because the culture is so much forcing us into doing. We have to actually make a boundary. So that's why this intention when you meditate to not use the time to do all that other stuff, to just be, is really important. And then your body is your ally. Your simple, old, boring breath to the mind, the thinking mind that just wants one piece of candy after another. In, out, in, out. Are you kidding me? That's right. That's our thinking mind, wants to be stimulated. You have another part of you. It's your contemplative mind or your contemplative heart. It's the opposite. It's like, oh, thank God. Just in, out, in, out. What a relief. This is really great. So this body is this refuge. It's the present moment, and it's the fast track to being. That's an oxymoron, right? Hurry up and be. But no, but it's just a direct path. It's just, so you want your thinking mind to be rattled and agitated. Are you kidding me? In, out, are you kidding me? That's exactly what you want, because it means you're giving yourself the chance to be. So the body is this refuge of the present moment. And it's as simple as noticing your breath. Don't believe those thoughts. This is dumb. This is silly. This is, you know, this is profound. It's ordinary but profound. We're learning how to be, and this is very important. Any comments?
Is it more than just is being? Because I think of being as being present.
Yes.
Not just breathing, you know.
Yes.
Being at the moment.
Yes.
Listening to you.
Yes. Exactly. So being, the comment is, being isn't just breathing, it's actually being present with your breathing, right?
Yeah, it's not thinking about this or that. Yeah,
exactly.
It's being right here.
And what it really means is being aware. If we're just noticing what's happening right now, that's really profound being. We can call that presence. We're just knowing what's happening. You don't have to have anything to do. One Tibetan Buddhist teacher says, best vacation, you know, free, instant, immediate, no travel agents, no orbits, you know, best vacation, right here, right now. Let go. Who needs to go to the Caribbean, right? That's expensive. A lot of hassle to get there. Just wake up right here. And you've got the tide right here in your breath. In, out, in, out. Who needs the beach? So, this is our refuge. And then, you know, the little preview of how does being mindful of the body help you with body image? Okay, we can just do a little experiment. If you would, and feel the sensation of being old in your body. Can you feel that? It's a trick question. You can't. Feel the sensation of being overweight. You can't. Feel the sensation of being a woman. You can't. Feel the sensation of being a man. You can't. When we're mindful of our body, we can't feel fat, male, female, old, young. Those aren't sensations. Those are thoughts. Those are ideas. You can relate to this body as buzz, pulse, throb, tingle, flutter, tight, loose, warm, cool. That's a sensation. And so all the negative thoughts we have about our bodies are not experiences of the body. They are thoughts about the body, and those are optional. But we have to wake up to it, to realize. So you can be sitting here and be 96 years old and having just as vibrant an experience as your body as a 12-year-old could have. Because in the sensation world, it's just buzz, pulse, throb, tingle. This body is vibrant and alive, and it's an energy field. And all those negative views we have about our body are just wrong, because they're just thoughts. They're not the actual experience.
There might be some pain.
Yeah, and pain would then be a sensation that is unpleasant. But the catastrophe when we have pain is not in the pain. It's in our thoughts about it. It's unpleasant. Now, if it's excruciating pain, then that's different. But for the most part, we will make a catastrophe out of a mild ache. Oh my God, what does that mean? You know, am I blah, blah, blah? Like you think you have a terminal illness or something. I don't mean to make light of it, but sensation is not problematic. It's what we do with it. We can learn to be aware of unpleasant experience. And without actually suffering, it's possible. And that the mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, is a whole approach in doing that. But it's there in mindfulness, period. So this body is a refuge from all of our negative images and thoughts about ourselves. So that might be worth a whole class. We'll see. Okay. And remember, it's awareness of the body is our refuge, because the body itself is not ultimately reliable. The body is actually the place where we learn about aging and mortality. And you can feel cursed to be mortal. But guess what? To be mortal, you have to be born. So that's the deal. It's just the deal, right? We all got this incredible gift of being born. The best gift anyone could ever have. Right? It's all gravy after that. We're here. We're alive. And so we have, but part of the package is that we die. And so the body becomes this refuge where we realize what we take to be us is not us. But we learn that because we learn that, that what we think of as this body is a changing thing all the time. And this is where the mindfulness of the body really starts changing us. We see the difference between our ideas and our experience. So if you would, let's just do a little quick mindfulness together. So just without looking at your hand, your right hand, picture it in your mind. Just picture your right hand in your mind. And then to yourself, silently say the word hand or right hand. And then now let go of the image of hand, the label hand, and feel your hand. What's the actual experience in the hand? Okay. So if you would raise your hand if you notice anything changing in the sensations in your hand. If you notice change, raise your hand. Most people notice change. We have the idea hand. The idea is sort of just a fixed concept in our mind. The image hand, if you had the image, is also just kind of some kind of fixed image generally. The experience of the body is actually not that. The experience is this field of sensation. Mostly that's changing. It's not always. Sometimes there's some sensations that just are steady and stick around. But for the most part, we see this body as this changing field of sensation. Very different from the idea, body. Like book, you know, just, right? The idea body, we just, it's kind of this object. The experience really different. So we'll do about 10 minutes of meditation at the end just with the body, but you know, we'll see this. So this body is our teacher, that our bodies aren't just changeable by aging and being mortal. Our bodies are changing moment to moment. This body isn't a book. It's not a static object. It's this snap, crackle, pop of changing sensations. It's an energy field. The more you open to that, the more you let go. Your body isn't what you think it is. So our body is our teacher, and it's teaching us by being changeable. Our bodies age, our minds age. Do you know the senility prayer?
No.
God, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked, the good fortune to run into the ones I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. How many of you know the Billy Collins poem, Forgetfulness? I think I read it pretty recently, but since there's only one hand, I will go ahead and read it. Forgetfulness by Billy Collins. The name of the author is the first to go, followed obediently by the title, the plot, the heartbreaking conclusion, the entire novel, which suddenly becomes one you have never read, never even heard of, as if one by one the memories you used to harbor decided to retire to the southern hemisphere of the brain, to a little fishing village where there are no phones. Long ago, you kissed the name of the nine muses goodbye and watched the quadratic equation pack its bag. And even now, as you memorize the order of the planets, something else is slipping away. A state flower, perhaps? The address of an uncle, the capital of Paraguay. Whatever it is you are struggling to remember, it is not poised on the tip of your tongue, not even lurking in some obscure corner of your spleen. It has floated away down a dark mythological river whose name begins with an L as far as you can recall. Well on your own way to oblivion, where you will join those who have even forgotten how to swim and how to ride a bicycle. No wonder you rise in the middle of the night to look up the date of a famous battle in a book on war. No wonder the moon in the window seems to have drifted out of a love poem that you used to know by heart. Not everyone in this room knows this experience, but maybe just you, Stephen. I don't want to single anyone else out. But, oh, okay. So these are found on headstones. On Margaret Daniels' grave at Hollywood Cemetery, Richmond, Virginia, she always said her feet were killing her. Where was this one? In Thurmont, Maryland Cemetery. Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go.
You know, I'm just saying that. Please. I am a gray-haired person here.
Yes.
I have found aging is sort of freeing.
Yeah.
There's something nice about it. You know, there's lots of other things that go on, but I don't remember all those things.
Right.
It's okay. You know. I get frustrated by having limitations, as we were just saying, but having to carry heavy skis to the ski slope. I don't want to do that. I want somebody else to do that for me. You know? But it's okay.
What helps you just sort of be okay with all that in the aging? I mean, something about aging has helped you.
It's okay to be.
Yeah.
I think it's being.
Yeah.
I'm more comfortable being that. I don't have to do
nice
as much.
Right.
Maybe I should be doing more, and I probably could be doing more, but, you know, it's okay to be.
Great.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lesson with aging.
Right.
The wise old lady that I am.
Did you ever think of your wrinkles and your gray hair as wisdom badges?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice. We get wiser, don't we?
Mm-hmm. A young face without wrinkles hasn't experienced anything yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The school of hard knocks, right? But this is cool. This practice is wisdom practice. You don't have to wait for the wrinkles. We get wise through doing this practice. As simple as waking up to this present moment just teaches us wisdom. And aging definitely helps us be wiser. But the practice speeds up the process. It's wisdom practice. It helps us see what's really happening. So being wise helps us let go, right? It helps us be. Being older helps us do that, right?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Somewhat.
Yeah. And so our practice accelerates. And this body is the field where we can bring our mindfulness to it and we can gain all these benefits. There's stuff I haven't even gone into. I'll just briefly touch on, and then we'll do some sitting. Being aware of your body makes you a heck of a lot more the real you. How might that be possible? Makes you much more authentic. Less caring about what other people think of you. Because the body isn't tricky. The body, you mentally might not want to be feeling shy, you know. But your body will tell you that you're shy because you're tense, right? You walk into a room and maybe because you're a guy and you're a really outdoorsy guy or something and your conditioning is to be tough, but you walk into a room and it's cold and you get cold and you think, ah, only wimps get cold. Well, guess what? Your body isn't doing that. Your body's sitting there being cold. The body isn't tricky. So a body, if you want to know how you're doing, don't ask your mind. Ask your body. Your body will tell you, oh, I didn't realize it, but I'm actually a little bit anxious because I feel this like buzzy in my belly. Or actually, I'm a little bit angry, but I'm not supposed to be angry, you know. Well, guess what? Your body's going to tell you. So the body, becoming aware of your body makes you really become more the real you. And nobody can argue with you. Nobody can tell you how you're doing because only you know. And so the body becomes our source of information for how we're doing. So the sensations that you feel are the least bound up in your personality, least bound up in how you think you should be. So the sensations are like a truth teller for you of your experience. So being aware of the body is really helpful for that. And there's many others, which we're out of time for. So I will stop with that. And how many people here have never done a meditation where you're just aware of sensation throughout the body? Is anyone new to that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
You're new to that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to do a little bit of guiding on that, and we'll sit for about 10 minutes. So you may have done meditation in the body, being focused on the sensations of breathing. So we don't want to exclude breathing because it's part of the body. And we want to let our attention go right now to anywhere in the body that is drawn. Where's your attention want to go right now? Wherever you are, just linger here a little bit. And our object is physical experience, sensation, something like buzz or throb or tingle, flutter, tight or loose, warm or cool, heavy or light. Again, staying in this area, notice the boundaries of this sensation. Where is the sensation not happening? And where is it happening? And then let your attention go somewhere else. Wherever your attention goes, rest in this experience. This time, make a mental note of the experience. Buzz, pulse, throb, tingle, warm, cool, tight, loose, heavy, light. Something like that, one of those. It's just a whisper in the mind. Buzz. Pulse. Staying long enough in any particular area to really get a sense of the sensation. And then let your attention go wherever it wants to go. Noticing this one, noticing how big is this sensation? What are the boundaries? Sharp boundaries, diffuse boundaries. And if you can, make a note of the tactile experience. Flutter, throb, whatever it is. And just keep practicing in this way. I'll end the guiding.